Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, the fourth Saturday of the month. So we have Farmer Greg joining us in this, well, not in studio, Zoom studio today. I'm seeing in the background of the beautiful urban farm in the background, full of an abundance of fruits and vegetables. And we're going to be talking about citrus today. And Greg, I love your talking points here. We've never really gone back to the history of citrus. They're here and we talk about them, and you know, you can drive through and you see in Mesa and Arcadia, all the neighborhoods that used to be or were built into citrus groves that were still there. But how did that all come to be? How did citrus make its way into the Southwest? Start with a little backlog history of citrus, and I love that.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me, as always. A little bit of history. So one of the curious things, I went back to school late in life, in the late 90s, and I was taking a writing class at Phoenix College, and I had to find some books to read that I would be interested in. And I came up with this book called Citrus by John McPhee. And it's about 140 pages that was written in the late 60s on citrus and how it came to be in the world. I haven't read it in a very long time, but there's a couple of really curious things in here toward the beginning. And one of them is, and I'll just read this, in Europe, one celebrated citrus tree called the Constable lived for 473 years.
And does the book say, was it producing that whole time?
It doesn't say that.
But even if it produced for half of it, which probably produced for closer to 80 or 90% of its life.
Right, exactly. And I have, so I live on an old irrigated citrus orchard near the studio, and I have in my backyard two citrus trees that were here when I arrived 30 years ago. And as far as I can tell, I talked to one of my neighbors when I moved in 30 years ago. He was 90 and lived in the neighborhood in the 1920s when these trees were being planted. So I have two Arizona sweet oranges on the back part of my property that still heavily produce every year that were planted in the 1920s. So they're approaching 100 years old and still producing.
You know, I've said this before, and it's how different would Arizona look today if citrus had gotten here just a couple hundred years earlier? Because the Casa Grande ruins, that got abandoned around 1450 AD. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had gotten citrus on their irrigation canals down from the Salt River to their compound, and that had just been lined with citrus, how many more years could they have sustained?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, citrus is amazing here. I don't know the history of how it arrived in Arizona, but I could make something up. Weather for citrus? Citrus absolutely love this weather. And I don't know if you know this, but Arizona is number four in the United States of growing citrus. So we're, you know, after I'm sure Florida and California are two of the other top ones. So we are a heavy citrus producer here.
That was my next question. Florida was an obvious. California was an obvious. Who's up above Arizona? We'll have to.
I will check that out.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say Texas, just because of the land size they have.
That's what I was thinking.
There are parts of Louisiana around Plaquemines Parish. They grow citrus out there too, but nowhere near the capacity of Florida.
So we've got citrus all across this, you know, basically what would you call that? The 38th parallel of America from. Every state has it from coast to coast. Mm-hmm. It's one of our five C's of the state.
You know what they are?
I do. All five of them? Citrus obviously is number one. They're all agricultural related. Copper, cattle, cotton, and the last one is huge in agriculture, the climate.
Climate, exactly. Awesome. I had to think about that this morning before we came on the air in case I got quizzed.
it's obviously changed a lot over the years, but that was the big industries in Arizona through the mid-century.
Oh, big time. I've heard stories that there used to be a small train line that ran from downtown into North Phoenix for all of the citrus that was picked in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and then shipped across the country.
I believe it. And that was a time when it wasn't just city the whole way. You actually went through these big orchards.
Well, there you go. I arrived here in the 60s, and it wasn't city the whole way then. There was I recall there was a space between Phoenix and Scottsdale even. And there's a map. So our nursery is at an old painting contractor's facility at 7th Street in Highland. Terry Davidson of Davidson Bohannon Painting owns the building. And on the wall inside the building, there's this old map, you know, a city map of Phoenix. And it shows Chandler as this little dot. So, you know, that's probably in the 1970s. You know, and out Chandler and Apache Junction way, they, you know, and Mesa, they had a lot, still do have a lot of citrus out there.
And the takeaway in all this is that, you know, as much as everything has changed, citrus is still a staple of Arizona. And it's something that you can grow in your yard. You don't have to have these big, huge, mega orchards. And a couple citrus trees correctly planted could give you citrus almost year-round. Not from one specific tree, but, you know, if you have the right varieties,
exactly,
you could almost get a full year of citrus from one variety or the other.
Yeah, and the hardest part for that is July, August, and September. And we call that successive ripening, so that you plant different citrus so they ripen at different times. And right now here at the Urban Farm, I get citrus from November to June.
And what types of citrus are on the Urban Farm? A lot of people think orange, but there's hundreds of varieties of citrus.
Exactly. And unfortunately, we can only get a couple of dozen of them, but there are many different varieties that do really well here. My favorite is the Caracara Navel. That is a pink navel orange, and it does magnificently well here in the low desert. And it makes these amazing baseball to softball size navel oranges. And they start ripening, along with Washington navel oranges, they start ripening at the end of November. So within about 30 days, I am going to be eating my favorite fruit off of the Urban Farm trees. And I have 14 navel or navel-like oranges here on the property. And I half jokingly say that about 4 years ago, I finally started getting enough of those harvested every year that I could share some with my mom.
Because they're that good. You eat that many.
Yeah, during citrus harvest season, I am eating 4 to 8 a day. And, you know, off of 14 trees, that goes a long way. So I actually harvest, and I said navel or navel-like. So the Trovita orange is my second favorite citrus fruit. And it ripens a month and a half after the navel oranges. So I get navel oranges in second half of November, December, January, and early February. So the nice thing about citrus is they last on the tree a long time. And then Trovitas start ripening about mid-January into February and March. And then after that comes the Arizona sweets, and the Arizona sweets are great for juicing. If you like orange juice, plant yourself an Arizona sweet. That's an amazing citrus. And then Eureka and Lisbon lemons, definitely want to have a few of those. What I do with those is I harvest them and I juice them. And last year I juiced 7 gallons of lemon juice and stuck it in the deep freeze. And I'm still drinking that. And what I do with that is I'll grab one out of the deep freeze and stick it in the refrigerator. And as it thaws, I take 2 or 3 ounces of lemon juice, put it in a big cup of water, you know, my big cup that I carry around with me. Add a little bit of stevia and fill it the rest of the way with water and ice, and I have a nice mild lemonade. And so I get that throughout the year. So And then some of my other favorites are the Gold Nugget Mandarin. That is an amazing, easy peel, low seed tree that is amazing. And then the Blood Orange and Pomelos. There's a couple of grapefruit or grapefruit-like. The Pomelo is a grapefruit-like citrus that can get as big, are you ready for this, as a bowling ball. Yes, they get huge, and the skin can be an inch thick. And they're a little bit tart, but mostly sweet, and are amazing. They ripen in February, March timeframe. So,
and what's that breed name?
It's called a Pomelo. The main one that we have available to us here is the Chandler Pomelo, and it's a delight.
It's one of those oranges that you can hand squeeze, though.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't want to hand squeeze that one. Wow. That would be hard, unless you have basketball hands, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about citrus is that they last on the tree for so long. And for the most part, the birds leave them alone. So you can grow a standard size citrus in your yard, which can easily get 20 feet tall, that'll make hundreds of pounds of citrus. And you can pick them with a citrus picker and eat them for months.
And like you said, just pick them as you need them off the tree, because that is one of the miracles of citrus, is how long the fruit stays ripe on the tree and how long your harvest season is. And then if you do what Farmer Greg's talking about here, where you're planting different varieties that ripen at different times, you're at a 7, 8, 9, 10 month season of constant citrus. So we're talking with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm. We'll be back here right after this.